Okay, guys, inshallah, a minute and we'll start, inshallah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All the praise and thanks are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah's peace and blessing be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the household of Muhammad and the companions of Muhammad and the wives of Muhammad and the followers of Muhammad. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among the followers of Muhammad. Everybody say Ameen. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Today, inshallah, we're going to talk about another companion. But first of all, I would like to thank everybody and say Jazakumullah khair for everybody who attended the previous class. And I would like to welcome everybody, new or people who are attending this class with amazing companions that inshallah everybody will enjoy. And before I start, I kind of chose a name that's not a lot of people know this companion of this name that I chose, Khalid bin Zayd. But if I say his name, and thanks to Firdaus Umaysh, she's the first person to message me and say what's his known name. We're talking about a great companion, and everybody knows him as Abu Ayyub al-Ansari. Again, the companions I chose today is also a companion from the Ansar, like Mu'adh ibn Jabal, and also a companion who accepted Islam in the second pledge of Aqaba. And I'm going to talk about him in a story. I'm going to mention about three stories of him and or four stories. And I hope you guys enjoy the story that I'll be talking about, inshallah, today. First thing to know about Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, when he accepted Islam at the second pledge of Aqaba, he was among 75 people who went for the second time. The first pledge of Aqaba, only 12 people of Yathrib, of Medina. The second pledge of Aqaba, only 75 people of Medina. Came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Mecca and accepted Islam. And they asked Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Ansar or the people of Yathrib, to ask Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to come and stay with them. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given the permission to do the hijrah. What's the hijrah? To migrate from Mecca to Medina. So Medina will be the city of Islam. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated from Mecca to Yathrib. People start calling Medina the city of Rasulullah. Medina to Rasulullah. So the name of the city changed to Medina. And that's how we know the name. I want to talk specifically about an incident happened when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated from Mecca to Medina. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before he arrived to Yathrib, he arrived to a small village outside of Yathrib, about 3 miles, 2 miles away from Yathrib, from Medina itself. The name of this village is Quba, the city or the village of Quba. It's a small village, a small city. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stayed about some historians of the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they tell us 4 days, some people they say 5 days. So he stayed there and he built the first masjid. Before he built the masjid of him, the Masjid Nabawi in Medina, he built Masjid Quba and considered it to be the first masjid of Islam. And then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after 5 days, he went to Medina, to Yathrib. And we all know the story. When people welcomed him, the people of Medina, the Ansar, welcomed him with the famous nasheed, the famous song, Tala al-Badru alayna min thaniyat al-wada'. And subhanAllah, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going through Medina, and every family, every house, every group, every clan of Medina were trying to welcome Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be their guest, trying to host Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in their homes. But subhanAllah, somebody who's blessed or someone who's lucky, as we say, will host Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at his house. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept telling the people who are trying to drag his camel, his she camel, da'uha fa innaha ma'mura. Leave the camel, it's guided. The camel will find its spot. It's guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to find its space to go. So whenever a group of people, they come and they start to hold the camel, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, leave it. Until the camel landed in a land, an open land that belongs to two orphans. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bought the land and he started building his masjid. In the meantime, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam needed a place to stay. So he went among the Ansar and he did was something called in Arabic Qur'ah, random selection. Everybody will have a pen and they'll write their names and they'll throw it in, or like they put in a bag and they pick a name. And the name of the random selection came upon our companion today, Khalid bin Zayd Abu Ayyub al-Ansari. So he was the lucky man. He was the blessed man to have the company of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to stay at his house. So Abu Ayyub was so excited. The historians of Sirah, they say he went to grab the belongings of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as he was carrying treasures, as he was carrying something so valuable. So he ran to grab them when he knew he's the one who would host Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes to the house of Abu Ayyub, and Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, his house is two stories. He has the first floor and the second floor, or the ground floor and the first floor, whatever you want to call it, but we're going to call it the first floor and the second floor. Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered his house, he told him, "Ya Rasulullah, you're going to stay upstairs, I'm going to stay downstairs." Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, "You know what? I'm going to have a lot of visitors. I'm going to have a lot of people coming to visit me. It's going to be hustle for them and for you, that every visitor will have to go upstairs. They have to take permission from you and then to have to come upstairs. If I stay downstairs, it's much better for me." But Abu Ayyub kept insisting. He said, "Ya Rasulullah, I cannot be above you. I cannot sleep above you. I cannot walk above you." He felt like he cannot be above Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And subhanAllah, this is of the manners, of the respect of Abu Ayyub to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we're going to talk about it. Why the Sahaba had so much respect, so much love to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you're worrying about me, you know, if you're disrespecting me, don't worry about it. You're not disrespecting me, but it's easier for me to be down the stairs. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a person of ease, of taysir. Whatever is something easy, he will take it. So Abu Ayyub, he went upstairs and he stayed with his family upstairs, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was downstairs. And his wife would say that during the night, he would only sleep on the edge of the room. And when he walks, he only would walk on the edge of the room. He thought if he walked in the middle, he would walk in front of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in top of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he thought if he slept in the middle or any other side, he would be sleeping in top of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he always used the edge of the room to sleep and to walk. Until one night, Abu Ayyub al-Ansari and his wife, they had a pot of water that broke. Some people, they said broke because so cold that night and broke. Some people said that fell. And all the water went all over the ground. And it's not ceilings like we have today. It's not like, you know, gypsum board and all the, you know, the materials that we have in their ceilings. It was like very basic, very old homes, you know, made out of mud. So Abu Ayyub al-Ansari and mud and rocks. So Abu Ayyub al-Ansari was so scared that something would fall on Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some water would be on him. So he had his own blanket. He ran to the water and he started drying the water with his own blanket that he was sleeping with. And he stayed all night worrying that some water might have touched Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So as soon as the fajr comes in, as soon as the morning comes in, he runs to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam downstairs and said, "Ya Rasulullah, I cannot do it. I cannot. You cannot be, below me. I cannot be above you. You have to go up and you know, and I have to be down. Abu Ayyub, what happened to you?" Then he told him the story of last night. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, "If that would make you feel better, if that's something you want, then I will go upstairs and you'll be downstairs." So Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, he went to the first floor of his house. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he stayed then in the second floor of his house. And a relationship started between Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Ayyub al-Ansari. And the Sahaba in general, they had so much love and respect to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You have to think and you have to understand, he is the one who guided them from worshiping idols, from being in the jahiliyyah, ignorance, to the light of Islam, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. In their mind, in their head, they thought about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is a person who took them from hellfire to Jannah. Of course they love him that much. Of course they will respect him that much. So it was known that every single time when Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, his family and his wife, they would cook a meal, they would send it to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have some food and eat, and he would send the leftover back. And then Abu Ayyub would ask from which side Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam ate. And he would eat from the same side that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam ate from, just to show love and affection and respect to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam stayed in the house of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari about 7 months. Some historians of Sirah, they said Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam stayed 7 months. Then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had his house ready, and he went and he stayed at his own house. There is another very interesting story about when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam left to his house, and it shows the relationship Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Ayyub al-Ansari and the companions. And I had so many lessons that we're going to share, inshallah, today. Once Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu narrated this story told to him by Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr one day, in a hot summer day, he had nothing, Abu Bakr, in his house. So around like afternoon, I would say, or around after 12 o'clock, when the heat at a peak, and I'm from the desert. So I know at this time, from 1 p.m. or 2 p.m. up to 5 p.m., people in the desert, they do nothing but sleep. Because in the summer, you cannot go out. It's really hot. So Abu Bakr was out at an hour that not a lot of people will be out. Rare to see somebody out. So while he's walking, he saw Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu also out of his house. And Umar looked at Abu Bakr and said, "Ya Abu Bakr, oh Abu Bakr, what are you doing at this hour?" Abu Bakr said, "The hunger brought me out. I'm here because I'm hungry." And then Umar said, "Wallahi, I swear by Allah who owns my soul that I'm out for the same reason." He said, "Let's look for someone. Maybe let's find Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's find someone who might give us something." While they're walking and talking, they see Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They saw him. Said, and they looked at him, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at them, and he was so surprised. And he said, "What brought you out at this hour? No one leaves their house at this time." He said, "Ya Rasulullah, hunger. We're hungry. We have nothing at home." And imagine, they're talking about Abu Bakr and Umar, like the two greatest companions. Abu Bakr, the person who is the best after the prophets. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "What brought you out, brought me out. Also, I'm hungry and I have nothing to eat at home." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aisha radiallahu anha used to say that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not have pirate in his house, at his house, for 3 months. What does that mean? That means he wouldn't have a cooked meal at his house for 3 months. She would say, "We will see the crescent after the crescent after the crescent, or the crescent after the crescent, then we will see a fire." That Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a very simple man, a humble man. Not somebody who has to eat a specific kind of meat or a specific kind of food. Otherwise, he'll be angry or hungry, whatever they call it. No, he was a very simple man. And he is a man that we learn from him. We see how simple was his life and we follow that. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Let's go. Let's go to the house of Abu Ayyub." Because Abu Ayyub has this relationship with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Abu Ayyub always would send food even to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even after he left his house. So they went to the house of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari and they knocked his door. So Ayyub, the wife of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, she opened the door and he said, "Ya Rasulullah, welcome, please come in. And welcome Umar, welcome Abu Bakr." She welcomed him right away. But they asked her, "Where is Abu Ayyub?" They said, "Abu Ayyub in the garden." Abu Ayyub had a garden close to his house. He's in a garden, taking care of the palm trees, taking care of the plants there. While they're talking, Abu Ayyub heard Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and heard Abu Bakr and Umar. So he ran to them and he said, "Ya Rasulullah, please welcome, come inside my house." And he went to the palm trees and he brought 3 types of dates to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He understood, mashallah. He knew why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to his house with Abu Bakr and Umar. And he put the dates in front of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and told him, "This is 3 types of dates. Try and eat whatever you like. You like this one, you like the dry one, you like the wet one, whatever you like, just eat it." So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started eating. Abu Bakr started eating. Umar started eating. So then Abu Ayyub chose a small goat he had in his house and he took it. And he said, "Ya Rasulullah, I will slaughter this for you and we will cook it." And he told his wife, "Go ahead, Ayyub, and make some bread. And wait, Ya Rasulullah, stay in my house." He used to have to inhabit Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his house. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always felt welcomed in the house of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari. So they went and they cooked the meal and they made the bread and they sat and ate. And when they ate and mashallah, everybody was full, Abu Bakr sitting, Umar sitting, Abu Ayyub sitting, Ayyub sitting, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sitting. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at the food of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said something very interesting. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he looked at the food and he said, "Surely we will be questioned about this bounty on the day of judgment. We will be questioned, we will be asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what did we do with the blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had just to provide for us?" Subhanallah, they had nothing to eat. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them something to eat. There is still going to be questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What kind of questions Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask us? What kind of question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to ask them, I gave you this meal, so you ate, so you have energy. What did you do with your energy? I gave you this food. Did you eat it and give it to others, or did you waste it and you throw it in the trash? And this is a very important question for us. We are in so difficult time that people are storing food and bringing as much as they can. Brothers and sisters, we will be asked in the Day of Judgment about the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being given to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even in a time of difficulties, because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also was in a time of difficulty at that time. And he would be asked about the food. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in Surah Al-Takathur, وَلَا تُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَ إِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. And indeed, verily, you will be asked about the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that day. Which day? The Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us so many things. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us things, unfortunately, sometimes that we don't see as blessings. We are home with our families. Let's take advantage of the time. We are healthy, alhamdulillah, right now, where many people, thousands, a hundred thousand people are sick. And they don't know what to do. Let's take advantage of the health that we have. Many of us here watching this video right now, young people. And instead of spending times and hours and watching Netflix and watching whatever shows, gain some knowledge, learn something, learn a new hobby. Take care of your family. Help your family at home. I'm not saying we're not doing this. Of course, many of us are doing this. But let's try our best to continue doing what we're doing. If Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Day of Judgment and Abu Bakr and Umar and Abu Ayyub will be asked about these things, what's going to happen to us? What would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ask us about then? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with many things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us so many things. And we should be ready for the question when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us in the Day of Judgment. Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, yes, he's born in Medina and he lived in Medina, but he didn't spend his life only in Medina. Abu Ayyub al-Ansari is a Sahabi who would we call him international. Whenever Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a campaign to spread Islam, he was with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you see him in the Battle of Badr, the Battle of Uhud, the Battle of the Trench, the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. You see Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, as the historians of Syria, they say, never missed a campaign with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then when it came to the khulafa, to the leaders of the Muslims after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you see him in every, almost every single campaign. So Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, somebody who traveled to Egypt. Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, someone who traveled to Iraq. Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, somebody who traveled to Syria, to Great Sham area right now. Actually, Abu Ayyub al-Ansari passed away in Istanbul, in Turkey now. And how is that possible? Thousands of miles away from Medina, from the city he's born. Let me tell you and end with the story, inshallah, of how Abu Ayyub al-Ansari ended up to be in Istanbul until today. The Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, they understood the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And many of the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave glad tidings, gave news, gave prophecies that of things that can happen in the future. And one of the famous hadith Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about that, the hadith which was reported that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily you shall conquer Constantinople. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling the companions that the Muslims there will be in Constantinople. And what a wonderful leader will be the leader who conquered Constantinople. And what a wonderful army will be that army. And this hadith narrated in Musnad Ahmed, in Al-Hakim, and also in the book of Al-Jami' al-Saghir. You can find it too. So the Sahaba understood this, and when the Muawiyah was the Khalifa of the Muslims, specifically 52 years after the hijrah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prepared a campaign of an army to go to conquer Constantinople, to go to spread Islam all the way to there, because they want to follow the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who heard that? Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, who knew the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And some historians of Sirah, they said that Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, radiallahu anhu, he heard that in Medina. He was in Medina when he heard that Muawiyah in Syria, in Damascus now, preparing a campaign to go to Constantinople. So he joined that campaign. How old was Abu Ayyub al-Ansari? Was about 80 years old. 80 years old. But he's not like 80 years old of some of us when you get old. Mashallah, they were healthy at that time. They eat good food and they don't eat that much either. So Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, he joined that campaign until the army reached all the way to the gate of Constantinople, to the walls of Constantinople. But they weren't able to enter the city. They didn't have the technology. They didn't have the advancement to be able to break these walls. At that time, Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, he just sick. And he was old. So he knew that he's going to die. May Allah be pleased with him. So he told the leader of the army at that time, Yazid bin Muawiyah, Yazid, the son of Muawiyah, that if I die, get as close as you can to the gates and bury me there. So they take him and they bury him after he passed away. And then they bury him as close as they can to the gates of Constantinople. And then many years after that, about maybe 700 years or more after that, when the Ottomans, under the leadership of Sultan Muhammad al-Fatih, conquered Constantinople in 1453, they found the grave of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari by the help of the Sheikh of Muhammad al-Fatih. The Sheikh of Muhammad al-Fatih, Aq Shamsuddin, inshallah, maybe we'll have a chance to talk about him in these lectures, inshallah, in these classes. He found the grave of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari. And he advised Muhammad, he advised the Sultan of the Ottomans at that time to build a masjid next to it. And it exists until today. Not just that, the Ottoman created a tradition. Every new sultan will become a sultan in the front of the grave of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari. When the sultan is going to be given the sword of sultanship, he must wear it in the front of the grave of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari. And then they start, the Turks, they had so much respect to Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, so they start calling him Sultan Ayyub. What does that mean? Is he a sultan? He's not a sultan, he's a companion. But they think he's even higher than a sultan because the companion Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who tried to bring Islam to Constantinople 100 years before that. And now it's his place is very actually famous place. If you go to Istanbul, inshallah, one day you can visit it. It received many visitors. And you can see the grave and next to it with the masjid that Muhammad Fatih built about 600 years ago. That's our story of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari. Abu Ayyub al-Ansari narrated many ahadith from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one of the beautiful ahadith I want to share to you, I want to share with you about that Abu Ayyub al-Ansari narrated a hadith that has to do with our daily prayers and Jum'ah to Jum'ah. Abu Ayyub al-Ansari said that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the five daily prayers and from Jum'ah, from one Jum'ah to the next one, will redeem whatever bad deeds, whatever sins that we do between them. What does that mean? If I pray Dhuhr and I commit a sin, and the scholars they say minor sin, and then I pray Asr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive the sin I've done between Dhuhr and Asr. If I committed a sin between Maghrib and Isha, and I prayed Maghrib, I prayed Isha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive that. Jum'ah to Jum'ah, and we don't pray in Jum'ah right now. Some of us are not praying Jum'ah. We're not going to the masjid, of course, but we're not praying Jum'ah, some of us. But I ask the parents specifically, if you can hold Jum'ah at your house, that would be great. That would be amazing. So the kids will have the feeling of Jum'ah as if they're going to Jum'ah. And you can, as parents, you can lead the khutbah or you can let one of your kids, inshallah, to lead the khutbah and be prepared and learn how to prepare a khutbah and you can teach them that, inshallah. That's one of the beautiful ahadith that reached to us today that would help us and we would know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most forgiven and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive our sins if we do things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us to do. Another hadith, and I'm going to finish with this, inshallah, another hadith that Abu Ayyub al-Ansari narrated, that Abu Ayyub al-Ansari said that a Bedouin came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day. And the Bedouin asked Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a question similar to what Mu'adh asked in the last class that we talked about. He said, tell me a deed that would get me close to Jannah and get me away from hell. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and don't associate partners and to establish your prayer and to give your zakah and charity and to maintain your ties to your family, to your kinship, to stay close to your family. And we are in these times that we always with our families. But some of us, we are with our families, but we have no good relationship with our families because we're stuck home. We don't know what to do. Oh, my siblings are so annoying. My parents are so annoying. So I ask you to take advantage of you this time if you want to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to get you close to Jannah and make you be away from hellfire, is make sure that you do your salah. Make sure you are nice and kind to your parents, your siblings, to the entire family. Now we're stuck in the houses. So you're stuck with your family for a month or so, or we don't know how long. So be nice to them. Jazakum Allah khair and for listening. Please, if you have any question, you have any comment, make sure inshallah to send it to the masjid or send it to me inshallah, and we will share, I will share them inshallah in the next class. At the same time, also, if you have any idea, any personality that you want me to talk about, please send it to me too, or send it to the masjid, and inshallah ta'ala, you know, we will present it in the class. And I would like to end with short dua inshallah. We'll make it a habit that every single time that we have a class, inshallah, we'll end with short dua, and everybody will say ameen inshallah together. Let's put our hands together. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولأزواجنا ولذرياتنا ولأهلينا ولأصحابنا ولطلبتنا ولمعلمينا ولمن أوصانا واستوصانا بدعاء الخير ولمن له حق علينا. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من البرص والجنون والجذام وسيء الأسقام. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من البرص والجنون والجذام وسيء الأسقام. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من البرص والجنون والجذام وسيء الأسقام. اللهم يا حي يا قيوم اصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. وصل اللهم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. جزاكم الله خير and thank you so much, and we'll see you inshallah next week. السلام عليكم.